Praised be Jesus and Mary. The assumption of Our Lady into heaven is something that's been believed in the church since the earliest times, believed and celebrated. For this reason, Pope Pius XII in 1950, on the 1st of November, was able to declare solemnly that this event in Our Lady's life is known to us by divine revelation. It's something revealed to Christ by Christ. It's something revealed by God and which forms part of the deposit of faith. It is a dogma of faith which we must believe. And Pope Pius XII, when he declared this dogma, used the following words. He said, "For the glory of Almighty God, who has lavished a special affection upon the Virgin Mary, for the honor of her Son, the immortal King of the ages, and the victor over sin and death, for the increase of the glory of that same august Mother, and for the joy and exaltation of the entire Church, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, of the blessed Apostles Peter and Paul, and by our own authority, we pronounce, declare, and define it to be a divinely revealed dogma that the Immaculate Mother of God, the ever-Virgin Mary, having completed the course of her earthly life, was assumed body and soul into heavenly glory. Since she was conceived without sin, in her, like in our Lord, there were no consequences of sin. There was no corruption after death. Our Lady didn't have to suffer that. So at the end of her life, she enjoyed the direct taking of her body and her soul into heaven, like our Lord, who ascended, she was assumed into heaven. And though she's in heaven now, the Church also teaches us something important. Though taken up to heaven, this is the Second Vatican Council, taken up to heaven, Our Lady did not lay aside her salvific duty. Our Lady has a duty of salvation towards us, her children. God gave her this responsibility over us to see that we save our souls. So when she went to heaven, she did not lay aside this salvific duty, but by her constant intercession continues to bring us the gifts of salvation. By her maternal charity, she cares for the brethren of her Son who still journey on earth surrounded by dangers until they are led into the happiness of their true home. Even from heaven, Our Lady exercises this salvific duty. But as we contemplate her this morning, today, in heavenly glory, we have to realize that it's not only heaven that competes, so to speak. It's not only heaven that's concerned about our souls. Both heaven and hell compete and rival for our souls. And we have to ask ourselves, well, how many people actually make use of these gifts of eternal salvation? And how many people reach that happiness of their true home, heaven? It's a good and important reflection, very sobering. St. Anthony Claret, who was a saint of the 1800s, a Spanish saint, gives us the following reflection. He says, "A multitude of souls fall into the depths of hell. God calls them to heaven. God gives them the opportunity to save their souls. But a multitude of souls nevertheless fall into the depths of hell. And it is a part of the faith that all who die in mortal sin are condemned forever and ever. According to statistics, approximately today, it's approximately 150,000 people, approximately 150,000 people die every day. And how many of these will die in mortal sin? How many will be condemned? For as their lives have been, so also will be their end." As their lives have been, so also will be their end, their death, their eternity. One of the relatively recent interventions of Our Lady, exercising her salvific duty from heaven, was her apparition in Fatima. Exactly 100 years ago it took place. She appeared to three little shepherds and told them that she wanted to take them and many others to heaven. And Pope Francis was recently in Fatima in this year, 2017, to commemorate the 100th anniversary, commented on this vision of the Mother of God by the three little shepherds. And he said, these three little shepherds, they had seen the Mother of Heaven. Many others sought to share that vision, but they did not see her. The Virgin Mother did not come here so that we could see her here. We will have all eternity for that, provided, of course, that we go to heaven. Our Lady foretold and warned us about a way of life that is godless and indeed profanes God and his creatures. Such a life, frequently proposed and imposed, risks leading us to hell. In his own style, gentle, but at the same time sobering, the Pope reminds us salvation isn't that automatic. As our lives have been, so also will be our end. And there are ways of life that are godless and profane God and his creatures and risk leading us to hell. Well, what way of life do we choose? And what way of life are we talking about? Just to give a few examples, what could the Holy Father be talking about? Way of life, godless, frequently proposed and imposed. Without getting pessimistic here, because I know I'm preaching to the choir here, so everybody knows this, but just to give a few examples that maybe you can share with somebody who's outside the choir, worth talking about. Two examples. In the United States, and we're going to be using statistics, so cautiously do we ever use statistics, but let's look at them, because I think these are pretty indisputable. In the United States, only about 24% of Catholics actually attend Sunday Mass on a regular basis. 24%. You may be wondering, really, that many? Because in New Bedford, I don't think we get that high, but 24%. In Italy, on average, about 10%. I lived there for a few years. Seems a pretty precise number. France, about 3%. For holy days of obligation, it's even lower. Unimaginable to have to go to church 2 days a week. Statistic that we can see, and it means that a good 75%, more or less, of Catholics fall somewhere on the sporadic to never spectrum as far as attendance at church. They live their ordinary lives as if God didn't exist, with more important things to do than attend the holy sacrifice of their Mass, where they participate in the work of redemption. Maybe they don't know. What happens to souls that live like this, practically ignoring God in their lives? It's a good question. And just one more example, since even if we go to church, which is a beautiful thing and we should, there are still 9 other commandments, so just one more example. Again, preaching to the choir here, but it's sobering. Ways of life that are proposed, imposed. The example of the internet. With all the good things on the internet out there, with all our accessibility, analytics and other types of software and other types of statistics tell us that about 1/3 of all internet traffic is directed to what? To filth, to pornography. About 1/3. And in the course of 1 year, one single filthy website can get up to 36 billion hits, which is about 5 times the population of the whole world. In 1 year, 1 year, one website. What kind of way of life is proposed or even imposed on this type of website? What happens to these souls that visit these websites? Truly godless ways of life that the Holy Father speaks about, that profane God and his creatures, truly risk leading us to hell. St. Gregory the Great, father of the church, says, "There are many who arrive at the faith, but few who are led into the heavenly kingdom. Behold," he was speaking on a big feast day when the church was full, "behold how many are gathered here for today's feast day." Let's, for the sake of rhetoric, let's pretend that's the way it is. "We fill the church from wall to wall. Yet who knows how few they are who shall be numbered in that chosen company of the elect." It just takes one mortal sin to lose everything. And such sin today is not just proposed, often imposed. And if we want to persevere, we need Our Lady. We need to make use of these gifts of eternal salvation which she extends to us from heaven. We can't be sure of heaven without her. And Fatima, going back to this apparition, Fatima, Our Lady said, sent from God, she said to the three little children, "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way which will lead you to God." Do we seek that refuge? And do we even realize that there are ways of life, very mainstream, very popular, very politically correct, no one will condemn you for them, very easy to go along with, which we should seek refuge from? And if we don't, we risk having them imposed upon us. We have to seek refuge in this Immaculate Heart of Mary and lead others to this refuge as well. And again, we have to seek those who are outside the choir and lead them to this refuge. This refuge, this Immaculate Heart of Mary, this sinless heart, where we're protected against our own sinful inclinations, against the corruptions and the pressures of our world, which is corrupt and seeks to corrupt. A sinless heart where there's only one concern: do whatever he tells you. That's what we find in the heart of Mary. When we enter into that heart, especially by praying the rosary, when we pray the rosary, we contemplate in that heart the words and the life of our Lord. In that heart, we contemplate the way of life that we Christians should imitate, the life of Christ, the example of Christ, the virtues of Christ. "My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge and the way which will lead you to God, to heaven," Our Lady says. Taken up to heaven, Our Lady did not lay aside her salvific duty, but by her constant intercession continues to bring us the gifts of eternal salvation until we are led into the happiness of our true home. Let's make use of these gifts. Let's seek eternal salvation. Let's take refuge in the Immaculate Heart of Mary, which will lead us to God, which will lead us to our homeland of heaven. Praised be Jesus and Mary.